and welcome to That Garden Show. My name is Shannon.
And I'm Harmony.
And we're so glad you're with us for another episode. Harmony, let's talk about fall. It's the middle of October. It's beautiful outside here in Michigan. I am a huge fan of the colors, a huge fan of the apple cider and all the fruit orchards. And I just feel like it's a time where we should take a page from nature and just kind of slow down a little bit.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I live for the 3 weeks between summer and winter here in Michigan. I love when it's just nice enough out that I'm going to wear a jacket, but it's not too cold where I need anything really heavy. Really for me, that's it. I absolutely love just being comfortable right there like that.
Yeah. Michigan is notorious for making you wear a sweatshirt on top and shorts on bottom. Shout out to all my fellow shorts on bottom, sweatshirt on top type people. We love you. But for me, it's just a time to reflect, you know, like, I mean, I do journal year round, and it's good to do that for me just to kind of get my thoughts out of my head, kind of realize what I'm loving about life and about my garden, what I'm not. But fall really just kind of drives that reflection time home for me. And I feel like, you know, I need to sit back and think about the garden. What did I really love about the garden? What did I really struggle with the garden? You know, maybe I had garden burnout mid-July. Have you ever experienced some garden burnout?
When I started really small. And it was super easy to navigate that. And it was really easy to control my environment, my gardening environment, what I was doing. And then as I progressed, because, you know, obviously it was so easy the first time, you know, I was going to make it bigger each time. As I progressed, I definitely ran into some of that where I got in a little bit over my head and I was struggling. And so, yeah, garden burnout is definitely a real thing. And if you experience that, the best advice I can give you is just to take a minute and just stop. You know, in life, we hear all the time that you need to keep going and you need to push through it and you need to
pull yourself up by your bootstraps.
Yes. And I hate that.
You know, I mean, hate using the word hate. It's true at times, absolutely.
Yeah, but I just hate the idea that we have to constantly be moving at all times. And we're not built for that. And I mean, if you look at the world around us, there's a reason that animals hibernate in the winter. And there's a reason that everything starts to slow down and the trees lose their leaves and everybody just slows down a little bit. And I think that we need to take kind of a page out of that book and just slow down. And so if you are experiencing garden burnout, or if you experienced it maybe, what, July is usually about that time?
Oh, yeah. For me, at least, there's probably a week mid to late July or maybe even early August that I probably don't even step foot in the garden for a few days. I just need a break. And yeah. It's okay to take those breaks. I mean, I know it's not August now and we're all looking back like, oh, but I miss the garden now.
Yes.
But it's just part of it, you know, is to kind of go with the ebbs and flows of gardening. I have, too, experienced burnout. For me, this has been a very different year than in any other year I've gardened. Being unemployed right now has really changed my timeline. Mm-hmm. So I don't have the, you know, long work day.
Yeah. And I think one of the things that you had said that kind of caught my attention was you had a week where you didn't even want to step in the garden. And I definitely have that as well. And if you are, you know, some people, they base their identity around their hobbies and the things that they like to do. And that's fine. I'm one of those people that I'm talking about. But it doesn't mean that you don't like gardening anymore. It doesn't mean that you're a bad gardener. It doesn't mean that you're not up to it or anything like that. It just means you need a break. And I mean, I think we all need a break even from the things that we love. And that's totally okay to acknowledge that and to accept that.
Yes, I give everybody permission to take a break from something you love. I mean, don't cheat on it or something super crazy, but absolutely.
But Shannon said you have permission
to take a little break. For me, yeah, that week in August when I was experiencing some garden burnout, like when I finally did make my way back into the garden, I did have a bit of shame of, oh, what did I let go? What's not going to bounce back from this time that I neglected the garden? And, you know, you have to be okay with the fact that some things are just not meant to turn out. Some of the vegetables you grow are not meant to make it to fruition or to fruiting, and be okay with that. I mean, you know, to take time for yourself is always most important. And yes, the garden is for ourselves. It is food for our families. But it's also most important to really keep an eye on that self-care and what you need in the middle of the garden season.
Yeah, so I started gardening as kind of a tool, one of many tools for mental health. It was a huge stress reliever. And when I get to that point that I feel like my garden is causing me stress, that's when I know that I need to take a step back, because that sounds silly to say my garden is stressing me out, you know?
Yeah, but it's possible. I mean, I think every gardener's experienced that. It's a very humbling activity, you know? You can be amazing at anything in life, and you can be amazing at growing things and really paying attention to the small details of what that plant is asking you for, but you can still have something that just doesn't turn out. Like, it's just humbling.
Absolutely, yeah. It definitely taught me a lot about patience, because if you ask my friends and family, I'm not normally a patient person. I grew up with the expectation of me that if something was asked of me, I was going to do it immediately. It needed to be done. And then 10 years in the military, that just reaffirmed that if someone is telling you to do something, you do it then. And it also reaffirmed that if I'm asking someone, I expect it to be done.
Absolutely.
Right then and there.
I struggle with that too. Coming from an entrepreneurial family, my dad owned a printing shop in town for a really long time, and I can totally relate to that. You just grow up with this idea of what success means, mm-hmm. and success not only means doing the job right, but it means doing the job on time or before it is due. I totally can see that. So tell me more about how it has brought more patience to your life, though, because I'm still working on this part.
So you can plant a seed and the packet says it'll germinate in 3 days.
Sure.
Guess what? If the seed doesn't germinate in 3 days, there is not a single thing that you can do, unless that seed wants to, unless the conditions are right. So you've got to get creative and figure out, what am I doing wrong? And you've got to, you know, go back to reflect there. But you've got to be able to reflect and say, what did I do wrong? What can I do different? How can I change the outcome? But at the end of the day, you just have to wait. And for me, that's tough. And sometimes, you know, it does germinate in 3 days, and I don't even want to wait 3 days because I want it now. Mm-hmm. And I think that's something that a lot of people can relate to, where everything is moving faster. I mean, think about the internet, where when we were kids, we had to wait. We had dial-up internet. Everything was not instantaneous.
I didn't have internet as a child.
Okay,
I'm dating myself.
I did have a little bit of internet. And you know, now everything, you go on the computer and everything is instantaneous. And we are accustomed to having that instant gratification. And gardening is, you know, hoping that it works out and hoping that you did the right thing. And just waiting to see if you did, and waiting to see if that happened. And there's no instant gratification about it. Some things, you know, radishes are 30 days, but then we think about potatoes, and that's what, 4 months?
Sure.
So you're hoping and just waiting for it to happen.
You can put the best plan in place, but it doesn't mean that everything's going to go as it should. And that's not just for gardening. I really do think that's a large part of life. For sure. And, you know, there's a season for everything. I think I already talked a little bit about seasons and how distinct they are here in Michigan. I mean, yes, it can be, you know, 35 degrees at night a few nights ago, and then today it's 70 and beautiful. That could kind of bounce back and forth a little bit, but there are these distinct winter, spring, summer, fall seasons. And I actually feel for my friends and people I know in like California and some of these further out places that don't get to experience that change of time, because I really think that that helps me personally and a lot of people in the Midwest with a timeline. You know, you're able to kind of see like, okay, so now it's fall. And in fall, I do X, Y, and Z. And these are the things that are important to me in fall so that I can get into winter. I need to make sure that I have a winter jacket. I need to make sure I have winter boots. You know, just the a snow brush in my car. Very crucial. These types of things. So I feel for people in places that don't get to experience those types of seasons.
Yeah, and I think one of the things that I love doing, especially when it gets colder, is I like just curling up by the fireplace or reading a book or just watching a movie with a blanket. And those things are super real, and it's just cozy, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I don't want to do those things in the summertime because I want to take advantage of the weather. I want to be out. I want to go swimming. I want to go hiking. I want to go to the farmer's market. I want to do all these different things. And then, you know, I'm not taking a break because I know there's a limited amount of time. So then when it does, when fall does start and winter does start, then that, it's almost like I'm giving myself permission to slow down and take that time to just kind of veg out because I know it's cold outside. I don't want to go outside.
Right. Yeah. And like you said, you really maximize that summertime because you know that it has an expiration date on it. And I don't know, for fall, it's just really important to me that we as gardeners and just as humans in life are spending some time with that reflective type lens and thinking about what really is important to us coming into the new year. We don't have to wait for New Year's to make a plan for the new year. You know, like what is important to us? What stays? What goes? What vegetables do you want to grow next year? What vegetables do you not want to grow next year? Spending some time planning and just kind of reviewing the things that worked and didn't work, you know? I really, for me, that's what fall really means, is kind of resetting, getting in that, you know, Q4, it's time to kind of knock out the last of the year. Here comes the business side of me coming out. But that to me is really important. Also in fall, Harmony, is Halloween, which you mentioned you are a huge Halloween head. What exactly does that mean for you? Like, what do you do that's so Halloween-y?
Yeah, it's not anything I really do. It's just I enjoy it. I love spooky things. I like scary things. My husband is not a fan of scary movies, but I make him watch scary movies with me year round because I just, it's, I like being scared. I guess I do. And I don't go too big on decorating or Halloween parties or costumes or anything like that. It's just when I think of the holiday that is the most fun and has the best memories, it's always been Halloween. But then I think about it, and it's not so much that it's Halloween. It's that end of season. It's that harvest season. It's putting everything away. It's, you know, getting ready for the following year. It's doing all those different things. And it's just, it's comforting to know that we're reaching an end to a cycle, and then to be able to look back and think about how great it was and how well it actually went.
Yeah, I totally agree. It is definitely kind of that period at the end of what's definitely summer is done and gone, and we're getting ready for winter. And, you know, after Halloween, it's like all the holidays kind of roll through so fast after that point. I also wanted to talk about just the fun, cozy fall stuff, because like I already said, I love apple cider. I love going to the apple orchard, which I have a feeling you still have not done.
I have not done, because this is where we're a little different in that I don't want to go apple picking.
Okay.
I just...
Mm-mm. That's fine. Fine then. Don't go apple picking with me in a flannel.
I don't want to go picking apples in a sweaty sweater. So okay, I just don't.
Hashtag sorry, I'm basic.
No, okay. So that's where, when it comes to being basic though, like I love pumpkin spice. I love all things pumpkin.
See, I
love
hate pumpkin spice.
I love, making soup with pumpkins. I love doing all of that. So, I mean, I guess that's where I'm basic. So I don't want to go to the orchard, but I do want my pumpkin spice latte. So.
Okay, PSL yeah. Gang in the house. I do not want a pumpkin spice latte. I want a cold brew from Starbucks every time, preferably the nitro. But fall, I do love the cozy time. Mm-hmm. I love the apple orchards. I love the blankets. I love the bonfires. Mm-hmm. I love the leaves changing. There's just so much about fall, and I feel like it always gets scrunched into this small period of time because, like, as soon as it snows, no matter if it's still technically fall or not, it's like automatically everyone calls it winter now.
Yes. Yeah. And winter, it's so very different. It has just like a totally different feel. It's when I think of fall, I think of orange, and I think it's not hot like summer, but it's still vibrant. And then I think of winter, and it's everything is blue and white, and it's just cold, and it makes me feel cold.
Definitely. Please tell us what you love about fall. We would love to hear your favorite fall activities, your favorite fall drinks, and all that good stuff.
You can message us on Instagram at That Garden Show.
You know, Harmony, I think it's time for
party time. All right. So we have a couple questions. If you're new to the podcast, Party Time is where Shannon and I like to ask each other questions. And we actually have some listener submitted questions today. So I'm going to go ahead and get started with that.
And we would love for you to submit your listener question as well. You can do that on Instagram or on Anchor or on Facebook, anywhere you can find that garden show.
Okay, all right. So from Casey in Ohio, Casey asks, how do you keep your day-to-day motivation in the garden?
Hi, Casey. For me personally, I'm a very routine person. Every day before I go to bed, I make my to-do list of what are my most important priorities the next day. I actually got this from a job where we used to have to list out loud what were our priorities for the day. So it's a habit I've kept from that. And I just list out what are those couple things that I have to get done. And then they're kind of in time blocks, which work really well for me. So garden for me is something I really enjoy doing. So I do go out there really early in the morning to check on everything. I just do a little loop around and then come back in. But my overall best advice for motivation in any part of your life is the minute the thought comes in your head, you have to act on it. You only have 5 seconds before you start convincing yourself not to do something. So if you're going to want to do something, the minute you think of it, the second you think of it, you have to execute immediately.
So and this is going to make some HR reps proud from previous businesses that I've worked at, because they've all taught me this, that when you are doing something, you have to ask yourself your why. Anything, you know, why do I do it? And if your why is good enough, then it's going to help you motivate. So for me, my why, for why I garden is I want to create a sustainable environment for myself and my family that produces food, locally for us.
For sure. Thank you, Casey, for that question. We're going to move on to the next one from Ashley in Michigan. How do you protect your garden from chickens or wildlife?
There's a couple different ways you could do it, and it really depends on what your wildlife is. If it's deer, you want a fence, you want to put, yeah, good luck, because they'll jump that fence. So unless you want to build a barricade or a compound, you're really going to have to go specific to each individual bed or plant if you just do in ground. But I found that chicken wire really does work. It'll keep the chickens out, until the plants start growing out of it. So you want to make sure that you have it, and you give your plants enough space. But chicken wire really is a good option. If you can afford it and if it's accessible to you. So if you are somebody that lives 30 miles from your nearest tractor supply, you might have to get creative. You might have to use an old, mattress, bread spring, something, but you just want to create a barrier. That's going to be the best thing. There's a lot of, old wives' tale remedy, spray cayenne pepper on it, spray this on it, spray that on it. But then that just becomes one more thing that now you're putting onto your plant. And I'd rather have just a barrier versus putting more things on the plants. Pepper's not going to hurt your plants, but I just don't want to deal with it.
Right. No, that's a good... I don't have chickens myself, but there are some squirrels that think they can have access to anything in our yard. So we do also use chicken wire with bamboo sticks, and we make... each individual bed has that around the edge. And so I don't have like a full garden around the full garden or a full fence around the full garden. I just have each bed has its chicken wire around it. And that seemed to work fine. The squirrels did start eating tomatoes a couple weeks ago. But I think also that's just because I was leaving them on the plants a little too long. So,
okay.
Yeah. Thanks, Ashley.
All right. Next question. What is your least favorite thing to grow?
Ooh, that's a good question. For me, I think it might be summer squash, only because I'm not successful at it and I'm not a big fan of stuff I'm not successful at. I struggle with vine borers. I think next year I'm going to try again because I love eating the summer squash and the zucchini. I just struggle with growing the plant. So next year, one thing I did read that I am going to try next year is if I wait and plant them a little bit later, then you can get past that. Vine borers are super active. I think it's early June to mid-June. So if I waited a little bit later and planted it, that it should be fine. So I'm going to try that next year. Mm. How about you?
Okay. I'm going to say butternut squash. I love acorn squash. I love any kind of zucchini, anything like that. But I just don't like butternut squash. I just don't think it tastes good. I don't know. It's just, it's weird. I'm not a fan.
That's okay. Sidebar. I had an amazing squash called Sweet Meat Squash. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you saw, I put it on my Instagram. Mm-hmm. But it was so good. I had never heard of it before. It seems to be an heirloom variety. My man brought it home from a gardener at his work who found out that last year I had saved some butternut squash seeds from something she'd given us. So she gave us another squash. And it was so good. It had to be like 25, 30 pound squash. It was huge. A quarter of it made enough meals for us to eat two nights. Oh, okay. And then I still have three quarters of it in the freezer. So
oh, wow. Okay.
I really like that squash.
Okay.
Next question. If you were a houseplant, what houseplant would you be?
I would be a Fittonia because it's dramatic and it requires a lot of attention. And I'm self-aware enough now to be able to say that I am also dramatic and require a lot of attention.
But they bounce back, like, as soon as you water them. They're great plants.
Yes. So very resilient. I'm resilient, too. So, Fittonia.
Yeah, totally. I like a Fittonia. We actually have one of those. You know, I think I would be a bird's nest fern. They are tall and, like, look at me, but not, like, in a fancy way. More in a... I don't know, just like I'm here type way.
But like you can't help but look at it.
Yes.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, they definitely grab your attention, but not in a like a foo-foo fancy way, because I'm not a foo-foo fancy type person. So I would be a bird's nest fern for sure.
Okay, okay. All right, and I think this is the last question, right?
Yep.
All right, did you ever think that you would do a podcast?
No. In fact, I was interviewed for one in my previous life when I was in the concert land. And I remember being so incredibly nervous just because when you're talking about something you are so passionate about, you want to make sure you come off properly. And so going into that podcast, I remember like being a little restless the night of sleep and just like really just being a little on edge about the whole thing. And it went really well. And, you know, I think it sounded great and everything was wonderful. But I definitely was nervous. And you and I doing this, like, I know we kind of just came up with the idea and like just went right into it. Didn't take a lot of time to really talk ourselves out of it, which is probably why it's going so great. Awesome job. But I think that, you know, we bounce off conversations and I'm still getting to know you as a human. And so for that, it feels more just like we're having wonderful, genuine conversations and they just happen to be recorded.
Yeah. Yeah.
How about you?
No. So for any of the people listening that went to high school with me and remember me, I used to be incredibly shy. I was so nervous. I could not order food in a restaurant by myself.
Like, are you serious?
I would ask, like, if I went with my family, I would ask my sister to order for me because I was so shy around other people. And then, you know, to bring up the military again, but that, you know, broke me of that. I wasn't allowed to be shy anymore.
Right.
I had to be.
Especially,
you know,
as a female.
Yeah. And I learned how to be my authentic self. And so, yeah, like you said, this definitely, it's all very organic and I love this. But no, I always was super shy. And then even after that, I just felt like, what do I have to offer? Why would anybody want to listen to me in a podcast? But, you know, It just turns out that everybody has something to offer. Everybody has something of value to bring to the table. And for us to be able to have these conversations and talk to each other the way we do, I think that we're able to help people. And so I love now, you know, when you asked me about the podcast, you know, my response was, yeah, absolutely. It's, you didn't even ask me, I don't think. You just said you were doing a podcast. And I was like, yes, we are. So
yeah.
So I love that.
Yeah. And real quick, before you take us out, Harmony, I just want to say thank you to the people who submitted questions. We didn't get to all of them today. Some of them we thought would be better for episodes in full later. So we just want to say thank you to you guys who submitted the questions. We, Harmony and I also want to say thank you to Bee from the Bellflower. You're super awesome. We used your space, or we utilized your space a few times early on just for meetings and stuff. And it's a beautiful, beautiful schoolhouse in the Southwest Michigan area. If anyone's looking for a wedding venue or a meeting space, make sure you check out the Bellflower.
So guys, be sure to check us out on all major podcast platforms, including Apple Podcasts and Spotify, at That Garden Show. Be sure to follow, subscribe, and leave us a 5-star review. You know, we're pushing the 5-star reviews, but that really does help with the algorithm to get us up on the charts so that more people can see us. So the more that you engage with our podcast on those platforms, the higher that we are, the more people can see, and the more people that get to listen to our wonderful voices.
Yeah. So
thank you guys, and we'll see you next Wednesday.
Have a beautiful day.